You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
And I'm so glad that right now, where you are in your house, your townhome, your apartment, watching on your device, maybe you're outside in the backyard on a beautiful day watching this as well. I don't know, but I want to join with you in prayer and just welcome you for our time. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be. But before we get there, I want to just kind of give you a little kind of FYI about some different things. Do you know that this is our 7th time to meet together like this? 7 weeks now we've been going with online only, and it's been amazing. We've had more people tuning in online and had great connections, and we're hearing great things that the Lord is doing through this. So welcome to our 7th time together for us to join together and to worship together in this way. Now, here's some great news. At some point, we're going to get back together. That's what's amazing. That's great. I hope you're excited about that and ready to go. The economy's beginning to open up. Things are beginning to change a bit. We're seeing the curve flatten, all of those sort of things. Well, at some point, we're going to be able to get back together. It will be different, I promise you that. But we'll be able to worship together, like Bible study together, all of those sort of things. And we are making plans and thinking about it and praying about it. And we want to get some thoughts from you as well. Here's what we're doing. We have a survey that you're going to be able to get. We're calling it the Roadmap to Reunion, and you can go to houstonsfirst.org, our website. Right now, it is up at this very moment to do that. Also, you can text feedback to 41411, and you can text that, and we'll send it to you. And tomorrow, you're going to get an email if we've got your email address, and you're going to get this survey on email. So we want you to do this because we're going to end the survey on Thursday, the 30th of April, that's coming up just at the end of this week, because we want a snapshot to be able to really look at this. So you can go online, website, you'll see it there, of Roadmap to Reunion. You can go to text to feedback to 41411, or tomorrow we're going to send you an email. And we want you to fill this out. If you're 18 and older, we want you to fill this out for us. It'll take you like 2-3 minutes. It's very quick to be able to do, to get your thoughts about it. Now, here's the deal. If you're a married couple, we want husband to do it. We want wife to do it because we understand you probably have different viewpoints, and so we want to be able to give you an opportunity for that. Let me tell you how we want to make a wise decision, just so you can know. Here's what we're trying to do. We're putting together a little bit of a triangle here. Number one, we want the leadership of the Lord. That's the first thing we want in this decision-making process. So we want God's leadership. We want also counsel of officials. What are the doctors? What are the government officials? What are they saying? How are they counseling us to be able to talk about those things? We had a big debate on how to spell counsel behind the scenes, and I think we got it right on this type of counsel. So hopefully. And then we want the comfort level of the church. What's the comfort level of the church? And if we have these three things, the leadership of the Lord, the council of officials, and then the comfort level of the church, that's where the survey comes in, then what will happen is we will be able to make wise decisions, wise decisions. And if those three things can come, so this is you on this survey is what we're looking for right here, is the comfort level of the church. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking about? What can happen? And then we're praying, be praying. The council of officials, we'll hear from the governor actually tomorrow, and then the comfort level of the church as well. So let's jump into Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be. Now, when we think about Philippians chapter 4, here's what I want you to be thinking about. We've been journeying through, and the Lord's going to give us some great words here and great words about prayer. Here's what Paul's going to do. He's going to give us some do's and some don'ts. Actually, one don't and some do's. And all through this COVID thing, we have been on do's and don'ts over and over and over. Don't do this. Don't touch your face. Do wear a mask. Don't do this. Do wash your hands. On, back and forth, back and forth. Just even this week, we were ordering takeout food. We've been trying to support local restaurants and also having a good time eating their food. So I ask this every time. How do I do this is what I ask them. Do I go in? Do you bring it to me? Do I call you when I get there? What's the do's and don'ts? So I want us to look in Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to end up with a don't, and we're going to end up with three do's. So here we go, Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. We're going to jump in verse 6, but I want you to hear what we went through last week. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Remember from last week, that's talking about the second coming of Christ. Not just the abidingness of Jesus, which is true, but his second coming as well. Verse 6, what we're going to talk about today. Great, great two verses for us where we are in our world today. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request known to God. Many of us have that actually even memorized. Here's our first don't, our only don't. Don't worry. Don't worry. Well, don't worry about what? Don't worry about anything is what he's saying. Don't worry about anything. Now, I can tell you this, we could do a great job of not worrying, but it is real hard to put that ending part on there. Don't worry about anything. There's a lot to worry about. There's some things I'm worried about. There's some things I'm not worried about. And that's been throughout the course of my life. There's things my wife would be worried about that I'm not worried about. Your spouse, your kids, your friends, whoever it is. But don't worry about anything is like the tallest order you could imagine. You know, worry's an interesting thing. Anxiety's an interesting thing. Here's why it's interesting. Responsibility brings worry. Think about that. Responsibility brings worry. So you're worried about your kids, but I promise you, your neighbor is not worried about your kids because you are responsible for your kids. You're worried about your job. You're worried about your industry. You're worried about your 401k. You're worried about your investments. But the person five houses down is not worried about any of those things. Why? Because they're not responsible for those things. It's an interesting thing. Responsibility actually brings worry. And sometimes the more responsibility you have, the greater struggle it will have with worry. Now, it's very interesting because that responsibility is a wonderful, God-given, amazing thing. And then worry is this thing that creeps up on it as well. So the more you have responsibility for, probably the greater fight you're going to have with worry. That's why we dream about just retiring on a vacation beach with all sorts of resources. High resources, low responsibility. That's how we want to define retirement because that decreases our worry. So worry and responsibility go together. Why? Because responsibility has baked into it a risk of loss, a risk of failure, and a risk of disappointing others. There's a lot of things we want to be good at, and you might want to be a good person at a hobby, but you really want to be a good person in parenting. So we feel that responsibility, and we feel a risk in that of approval in the sense of even before the Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant, a risk of failure, a risk of disappointing others, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's even in our faith. Responsibility brings worry. Now, here's another thought on this. As dreadful as it is, worry, as dreadful as worry is, worry feels responsible. It feels responsible. Responsible people will worry, is what we feel like, because responsibility and worry are tied together. So here's what we feel like. When we see somebody with this whole COVID thing, and they're not worried about it, there's some of us that will feel like, well, you're irresponsible with it. Worry and responsibility seem to tie together, and so, watch this, we trick ourselves to think our worry is actually us being responsible. We can be concerned and be responsible. We can be active and responsible. But Paul is saying, don't worry, because worry becomes this fret. Worry becomes this, it's not in God's hands, it's in my hands. Worry becomes this, it's up to me instead of up to him. Worry becomes this, okay, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? But worry, you can be responsible and not be a worrier. You can be responsible and not be a worrier. because you want your responsibility to be given over to the Lord. So you say, God, you be the parent through me. You be the spouse through me. You be the employer or the employee through me. You be the leader through me. God, you do your work. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to leave it in your hands. Just as we sung just a few moments ago, I will rest in him, and I will leave the rest to him, that we're able to say, God, I give you my worry, and I hand it to you. And you can actually be a more responsible parent, leader, friend, family member, employee, employer, whatever it is, by being faithful instead of being filled with worry. So Paul says, and Paul was tremendously responsible. Paul says, don't worry about anything. And in these times of worry that we have, that we're going through right now, there's lots to be worried about. In these times where we're fighting worry, those times, a lot of times, this can be coming from our personality. You know, a lot of the responses of people towards this COVID-19 stuff is based in personality. There's some folks say, oh, no, it's no big deal at all. And that would be coming in some ways from a personality. And there's some like, no, I'm never leaving the house again, ever. And that could be based in personality. Here's what I want to call you to as we wrap this one section here of Don't Worry. I want to call you to live out of your identity in Christ, not your personality in the flesh. Hear that again. I want to call you to live out of your identity in Christ, who Jesus has made you, of a saving relationship, an abiding relationship in the heart. Yes, he's coming back, but he lives in you right now if you're a believer in Christ. To live out of your identity in Christ. God's got this taken care of. God's got this in his hands. Yes, we'll be responsible, but we can be responsible without being worrisome. And so I want to live out of my identity, not out of my personality. Not just happy-go-lucky, optimistic. Not just, oh no, the sky is falling. Doesn't matter if you're Tigger or Eeyore, you're in Jesus is where you are. And in that place in Christ, that identity in Jesus Christ, that's where now I can say, Lord, because I'm in you and you're in me, because you're my father and I'm your son, your daughter, I want to give this to you and allow you, Jesus, to be the identity that I have. Paul said it like this, for I no longer live, for I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but this life that I live, what we're living right now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who died and rose again on my behalf, Galatians 2:20. So live out of your identity instead of your personality and allow then worry to go by the wayside because you're trusting in who you are in Jesus and who he is in you. And then you know what? You will be a responsible parent. You'll be a responsible leader. You'll be a responsible citizen. But responsibility and worry don't have to be tied together. You can be responsible without being worrisome because you're finding your identity in Jesus Christ. Now, everyone in the world says, don't worry. We all know the song, don't worry, but be happy. But the question is, how? Nobody's got the answer for that. Don't worry, okay? Be happy, okay? But there's worry, I don't know, how do I do that? Tell me about that. And so Paul's going to tell us how we do that. Now, I got a really neat thing that came to my door. And so I had mentioned a couple weeks ago and even last week, and I want to say it again, I miss you. I miss you. I'm a shepherd without some sheep in the room, okay? So I love you. I miss you. That's why we're planning and praying and thinking and trying to receive wise counsel about how we can get back together in the right timing and the safe ways and all of that sort of stuff. I miss you. I mentioned missing the sheep. And so someone sent me a package, and we left it on the doorstep for 75 days so they didn't have anything on it. Just kidding. But we ended up with this package, and it was a great thing. And here's what it said. Here was the note. It said this, Dear Pastor Greg, we heard that you were missing your sheep, so we are sending you some. We wanted to let you know that we still hear your voice and we are still following online. Thanks for being our shepherd and being out front. And they sent my family a packet. We had probably about 10 or so of these, and it was a little craft. And what they were is, this is the craft. This is what it looked like. I'll let them kind of zoom in on this a little bit more so we can get this. Here's what it says on this place right here. It says, when you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. When you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, don't worry. Don't worry. Not just don't worry, be happy. Don't worry because you're praying. Because you're praying. So I got this cute little sheep here. I thought that was a fun little creative way for them to be able to send that to me, which was great. And it's such a great word of whenever you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. Watch what's going to happen now with Paul in verse 6. Here's what he's going to say, and I'm going to unpack this. Don't worry about anything. We talked about that. Okay, so how? But in everything, through prayer, 1, petition, 2, with thanksgiving, 3, present your requests to God. So here's what he wants us to do. He said, don't worry, and he doesn't just say, and be happy. Don't worry, do pray. In 3 ways, I want you to pray. He's going to give us 3 ways to pray. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to give us 3 ways. Let me use my chart here, back here. The first thing that he's going to give us is he's going to give us, he says, pray. And what this is from the word that we would use for adoration or connection. He's saying, I want you to connect with me through prayer. Do you know that relationship with God, a relationship with God is built in, grows in God's word and in prayer. So prayer is not just give me stuff, give me stuff, give me stuff. Prayer is, I want to relate with you, God. I want to connect with you. Now, I'm going to give you 3 postures for each one of these prayers of how to pray, okay? It's going to give us 3 things. I'm going to give you 3 postures of being able to do that. The one with the connection I want to give you is lifting our eyes, that we would lift our eyes. We want to have connection with God, he says, but in prayer, connecting with God, I want you to lift your eyes to the Lord. Now, when we see postures of prayer, we see lifting our eyes. Connection is to lift our eyes in adoration, to lift our eyes in conversation, to lift our eyes in relationship. Prayer is about knowing God. Even this morning when I woke up and I went on a little walk around the neighborhood to get my blood flowing, I was like, Lord, I want to pray to you today. I want to connect with you. Not just I need stuff. I want to talk with God who loves me, who died for me, who cares for me, and I want to converse with you. I'm not asking for stuff. I'm not talking to you about blah, 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 blah of what I need. I just want to tell you you're beautiful today. This morning is glorious. Look at these trees. I'm alive. I am so wanting to connect with you. Tell me and let me get to know you. And I've been on a journey for 33 years now of knowing God. In prayer of running to the Father again and again and again and again. Lord, I want to connect with you. And it is a lifting of our eyes. That's the posture I want to give you. So this week, would you just lift your eyes and say, God, I want to connect with you. Do we see that in the scriptures? Oh, yeah. Jesus raised his eyes before praying at the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11. He lifted up his eyes and he said, Lord, and he prayed about Lazarus coming out of the tomb. He looked up to heaven when he blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish in Luke chapter 9, verse 16. It says that he looked up and he said, Lord, as we have these loaves and these fish, would you multiply them? And so Jesus, we see with Christ, a posture of prayer, of lifting up his eyes and connecting with God. So number 1, I want you to connect with God this week, that you would have a connection with God. Number 2, it says that we would pray with connection and that we would have petitions that we would have. Petitions. So we got connection. Now we're going to have petitions that we're going to have here. So we're going to have petitions, and what does that mean? That is where we're calling out to God, and we're giving our request. We're saying, Lord, we want to request from you, God, that you, God, would be in a place, and I just realized I misspelled petition, so for all of you freaking out at home, that should be an I, I think. Is that right? Something like that. We'll just go with P, okay, the P, petitions. We'll just go with pet. How about that, to do that? So however it gets, close enough, you know, hey, this is live, all right? So here we go. If you were wondering, now you know we did not edit this thing. Petitions are asking God And it's requesting help. So I want to petition God. There's things that I need to petition God and to say, Lord, I need this. I'm requesting help. I'm requesting guidance. I'm requesting healing. I'm requesting open doors in my life. I'm requesting hope that God, you would give me this. That is such a key thing. Begin with the connection of the relationship, and then yes, move to the petitions. Now, what's going to be our posture with this? Lifting our eyes was connecting with God. Lifting our hands is what we're going to do with petition. We want to lift our hands to God and to say, God, we lift it up to you, God. We lift our prayers to you, and we're just in a receiving mode. It's almost like a throwing it to heaven and a receiving it from heaven mode. I've got a request for guidance. I got a request for healing. I got a request for hope. I need an open door. I need you to help me with my heart. I need you on these things. I want to petition you, even on behalf, intercede for other people. So I want to lift up my hands right where you are, sitting right there on your couch, sitting on the back porch, wherever you are. If you're standing up, I want you just right now, just lift your hands. Everybody, thousands of people all over the city, all over the country and world right now, lifting your hands. Doesn't that just feel good, just a surrendered position to God? I petition you, God. We need your help. We need your healing in our nation, our country, our city, our world, our state. We just petition you, help us, God, in this moment. Now you can let your arms go back down. Lift your eyes. Lift your hands. Give it to the Lord and say, God, we give it to you. Now our third one and our last one is this in this section. It's appreciation. Appreciation. So we've got petition. All right. I think that's going to be with an I. I'm going to just guess. You know, we're going to guess a couple letters here. So petition, appreciation. Thankfully, I know how to spell in front of thousands of people. And then back to connection. Now, how does this work? The more that I have connection with God, the more I'm calling out to God, the more I'm in appreciation to God. So he says, I want you to pray, and I want you to give your petitions before God, and I want you to do it with thankfulness. So I want to have appreciation. So when I'm appreciating God, I'm thanking him for him, thanking him. Does that mean everything that I get, every one of my petitions gets answered like I want it answered? Absolutely not. And here's the deal. You don't even want it to be answered your way all the time. God's ways are higher and better and stronger. Appreciation. So I look up in connection. I lift my eyes. Wow, I get to connect with God. Amazing. I want to know you. I know you already know me, every hair on my head. I want to know you and I want to connect with you. And as I'm connecting with you, I'm learning your faithfulness. I'm learning your consistency. I'm learning your greatness. I'm learning your love, and I'm getting to know you. So now I can lift my hands and trust you with my deepest burdens, my deepest hurts, and I can petition you. I need hope. I need healing. I need guidance. I need open doors. I need your wisdom, all these things. And then when that comes, when that falls from heaven, I might not always like it, but I could say, thank you, God. And so what is our appreciation? What's our posture for appreciation? Our posture for appreciation is about head, about head. This is how we often, when we say, let's pray, everybody bows their head. But I'm telling you, when you get something from God and it's a Thanksgiving moment, it's not a, yeah, all right. It's a, oh, wow, thank you, God. You know why? True appreciation and true gratitude and true thanksgiving is this. You know that what God just gave you is more than you could have ever earned. You didn't earn the guidance. You didn't earn the hope. You didn't earn the peace, as we'll see in a moment. It was only by God's grace. And your head bows in submission. And if those three things come together of my eyes are up and connecting with God, I want to really know him. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I want to lift my hands and give him my deepest and darkest burdens. He already knows them anyway, but we give them to him. And then when we receive, even if it's a painful thing that we don't like, we know it's growing us in our souls. We can bow our heads and say, Lord, I thank you for that, and I trust you for that. Do you know how grateful we should be for all that God has given us? I mean, some of the people suffering around the world with this COVID crisis, and many of us, our backyards are more like resorts of hotels. And we are in a place of great thankfulness to say, God, thank you, not just in comparison, but thank you. And even more so to say, I want you, Lord, to do something in me, and I'm thankful for the eternal work you're doing in me. So Paul says, don't worry about anything. And then he says, don't do that. He says, do, what am I going to do? Because it can't be just don't worry, be happy. Do pray and get to know God. Do give your cares and cast your burdens on him in petitions. And thirdly, be thankful. And what will happen? What will be the result of that? Watch what will take place with this. Here's what will happen in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is a rich verse. Don't lose me in this last part as we're wrapping up. That is a rich verse. Do you know that it's the only time in the scriptures, only time that we see this wording like this, and the peace of God, only time the phrase, the peace of God, occurs nowhere else in the New Testament, but right here. Here's how peace works. Number one, there is peace with God. That is through a saving relationship through Jesus Christ. When I realize I have sinned, when I realize I'm distant from God because of my sin, and I trust Jesus, and you can do that right now in your home. You can do that at the end of the service. You can do that whenever you want to. When we realize I've sinned, there's a chasm between me and God, and I can't do enough good works to get there. I want to have peace with God. So I pray and I say, Jesus, be my Savior. Save my soul. Wash me clean. Be my forgiveness. I trust your death on the cross, your resurrection from the grave. That gives you peace with God. Then Paul says, as we connect with God in prayer, we're going to have the peace of God. See the difference? I've got peace with God in salvation for all of eternity so that I can have the peace of God as I walk out my life in prayer and submission to him. So peace with God is salvation. Peace of God is walking out, growing in our life. Now, peace is more than a feeling, but it's no less than a feeling either. Sometimes we're like, oh, it's not a feeling. No, it is a feeling, but it's more than a feeling, and it's not less than a feeling at the same time. And here's the thing, bad news coming. We will not experience the fullness of peace until Jesus returns. We're here in the midst of sin. We're here in the midst of the world. You're never going to be fully peaceful. Even if you retire on that beach somewhere, you're never going to be fully peaceful. You're going to be a bit restless, but you can have peace with God and then let God have the peace of God as you walk out life. So that's the first thing. And here's the deal. Right praying results in peaceful trusting. Right praying results in peaceful trusting. So what's spinning around? What's this hurricane going on of right praying? Here's what this thing is spinning around. Here's what it's spinning around right here in the middle is peace. Do we need some peace in our life? Right praying of connecting with God in a relationship, petitioning God with our needs, and most of the time that's where we stay. And if we don't get what we want, we don't go to appreciation. We just pop out of the circle. So, well, God, I'm done with you. Petition becomes appreciation, which becomes connection that becomes petition. And so I'm going to be appreciation while I'm connecting. And I'm going to have connection while I'm petitioning. And I'm going to go all the way through so that I can get around this big thing right here that the whole world is looking for. Don't worry, be happy. No, don't worry, be at peace. And the peace through COVID-19 will come from a bended knee before the Lord. Lifted eyes before God. Lifted hands to the heavens. And oh, wow. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Even if I was to be on my deathbed, and you know what? All of us will be at some point. Maybe not from this. Statistically, not from this. But to have peace even in that moment and gratitude before God. Let me show you one other thing in this. In this place, it says then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. I want you to realize this. This Greek word for guard is a first century term for high security, to set a watch, to stand guard, to keep securely locked. Paul was writing this in a Roman prison with a guard most likely right next to him, possibly chained to a guard. So as he's writing this, he's looking at bars, he's looking at guards, and he says, let me tell you about the peace of Christ. It will guard you like this is being guarded around me. Timothy Keller puts it like this. He says, the Greek word translated as guard means to completely surround, to fortify a building or a city, to protect it from invasion. If you have an army around you protecting you, then you can sleep really, really well. That's the idea. So there's a peace and a guarding. Do we see this lived out any place in the scripture? We actually do. You know where you see it lived out? You see it lived out with Daniel. Do you remember Daniel chapter 6? It said he prayed and gave thanks before God in Daniel 6 verse 10. And then he made supplication in verse 11, praying and giving requests before the Lord. And as a result, he was at peace. When the palace couldn't sleep, he could sleep in the lion's den. Amazing. The palace was waking up. He's asleep. Why? Because he came through right praying leads to peaceful trusting. So lift your eyes, lift your hands. Once you do that, right where you are, as we wrap up, look up at the ceiling, right where you are. Or look up at the sky, whatever you're looking up. Look up at the ceiling, and I want you to say this as you're looking up. God, I want to connect with you. Say that phrase as you're looking up. One, two, three. God, I want to connect with you. Now lift up your hands. You can put your eyes back down to normal. Look at me on the screen again. Lift up your hands and say this. Lord, I give you my burdens. Say that with me. One, two, three. Lord, I give you my burdens. And now if you'll bow your head, right there, I want you to say, I appreciate you, Jesus. One, two, three. I appreciate you, Jesus. And if we'll have right praying, we'll have right living, and right living will end up, right praying will end up in peaceful trusting and right living as well, just as Paul had. There's a song that I've really liked this past week. It's by Matthew West. I don't know him personally, but I like his music. And you can Google it right after this. We wanted to show it right after this message, go right into it. And it's a copyrighted thing, and we didn't want to get in trouble and have YouTube shut us down and all that stuff. I'm sure Matthew probably wouldn't care, but we're trying to be outstanding, wonderful citizens. And so it's a song called Take Heart. So after the service, when you're done, you can Google that. You can go and see Take Heart by Matthew West. And it's a real cool kind of way that they put it together. And here's what it says. We woke up this morning and life as you know it, nothing looks like the kind of life you knew before. All of a sudden, fear stole the headlines and it don't feel safe to step out of your door. So take heart, take a breath. Let me lift that heavy weight off your chest. Take my hand, the Lord's saying, I know it's looking dark, but when the world falls all around you, I won't let you fall apart. Take heart, take heart. Oh, take heart, just take heart. In this world, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Oh, in this world, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Maybe it's time for you to make a decision for Jesus Christ that you want to trust him and have that relationship that I've been talking about. We want you to pray first to 41411. Maybe you need to be baptized, and we can't do that right now in the situations we're in, but if we can get that ball rolling, and you need to just say, hey, it's time for me to just make a public stand to say, I know Christ is Savior, but I want to be baptized. Maybe you want to join the church. We'd love for you to join the church. You may live in a different state. We'll figure it out. You know, let us know. Try to connect with us in that way. You just text, pray first, to 41411. We'll leave this little link up below me just for a moment, but the most important thing is that you would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you would walk with him. You know what will happen then? You'll find this. My little thing fell apart. I didn't glue it well enough, I guess, here. So you know now my craft skills are not quite what they need to be. When you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. Let's be people that talk to the shepherd. One don't, three do's. Live in prayer this week. Use those prayer postures. We're going to wrap up in a word of prayer. And then we're going to have one more song of worship. and we're going to send you out. I want to remind you, Marriage Matters coming up this Friday online. We want you to tune into that. We've already got 400 people signed up for it. It's going to be amazing. So tune in on that to be able to do that. Be faithful in your giving, as we talked about as well. We really need that to continue to do the ministry we're doing. And fill out that survey as well so that we can know kind of where you are. So as we're planning to come back together in a different way, but to come back together, we'll know where that is. So do that this week. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would be our cornerstone. You would be our strength. You would be our shield, Father. We want to lift our eyes to you and to connect. We want to lift our hands to you. We've got some burdens. We've got some needs. We need some open doors. We need some guidance and wisdom, God. We want to bow our heads in gratitude and say, Lord, thank you, God, for all that you've given spiritually and even practically, and even those that maybe have lost things, lost their job, seniors that have lost so many fun things, school kids that have lost so many fun things. Lord, we're just thankful still, God, that we haven't lost you. We still got you. If you need to know Jesus, you just pray right now and say, Jesus, I want to know you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. If you're already a believer, say, Lord, I want to connect. And I want to walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.